Welcome into DC On Screen episode 400. This is your weekly DC TV news. I was tempted to try to figure out a way to make this a really special episode, but you know what? In like a month's time, we're going to be on episode 500, so why try?
Yeah, it'll be here before you know it.
I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello. Oh, actually, I wasn't even supposed to be here today. Can we include that as a cutscene?
If you like.
I mean, I was supposed to be in Mexico.
That's true.
Yeah, the wife broke herself.
She broke herself the last time you guys had a honeymoon.
She did. So, we went on our honeymoon, and we were there for like 5 days, 4 nights. No, 5 nights, 4 days. And day one, like we got there at about 8 o'clock. We got up, had lunch. Anyway, 1 o'clock that afternoon, she broke her big toe. 5 o'clock that afternoon, she broke her shoulder. So she spent the rest of the honeymoon in a sling, which I'm pretty sure I've told that story before. But we were going to do like a redo because we figured the universe owed us a mulligan on this thing. And we made the best of it for what we could last year.
But the universe said, dude, you didn't understand what we were trying to do.
Yeah, apparently we're not supposed to go anywhere warm, maybe, on any kind of vacations. I'm not sure.
Well, you live in Alabama. We don't need to get warm.
Yeah, we're muggy enough, I guess. I don't know what I'm being told here, but like, yeah, seriously, we were supposed to head out Friday, and I would have been back Tuesday. And she broke her foot by falling from the ground. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the hard question here is how do you break the thing that's closest to the ground when you fall from it?
I've done it.
I haven't managed that one, man. That's
I've done it twice.
That's clumsy 2.0. I haven't been able to pull that one off.
Fifth metatarsal on each foot I've broken.
She had a Jones fracture.
Put all of your weight onto it.
It's a Jones fracture, is the medical term, and they nickname it a ballerina fracture. And Christian heard that and laughed and went, "That's the first time I've ever been accused of being a ballerina."
Oh.
So that poor thing's been rolling around in a scooter. She's got one. I call it like a wide receiver scooter. It's that thing that like supports one of your legs, so you don't have to. So she's not like non-weight bearing for like like 6 weeks probably.
That's rough.
Yeah. So
that's rough.
We're not supposed to have vacations.
Mm-hmm.
Just to dig this nail in, I have like a Spanish dictionary sends me like a word of the day. Today's word of the day: veranear, to spend the summer, to spend one summer vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that word, nor did I know that word was disappointing until today.
I'm sorry, man.
It's been interesting. Like, the first thing I told her was, I went to pick her up after she'd fallen because she called me. And the first thing I told her was, like, you know, I love you, but you're a ridiculous human being. She kind of looked at me and was, I know. Wait, let's get you to the doctor's wing.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even be mad. I've just been laughing the entire weekend, just looking over at her with her bad crutch management, kind of laughing at her the whole time. I'm not sure if that makes me a bad person, but that sure as hell my coping mechanism, so I'm going to roll with it.
I don't know. I have nothing to really cope with, and I'm laughing at her too, so I'm pretty sure I'm a bad person.
Maybe we both are. Not sure. Incidentally, after this exchange, I can't recommend trip insurance enough to anybody.
Uh-huh.
Cost us about $100 to save about $2,000.
Oof.
Yeah, that would have been a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
So that was my week.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
I'm
sorry.
I'm finding new things to laugh at each day.
Through the tears.
Yeah. Oh, I actually pre-warned her. We did manage to get like a long weekend still, so it wasn't the end of the world. But
yeah.
I mean, it is Memorial Day weekend, and we both kind of could get off like Friday, Sunday. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Like,
I understand that for you meant Riverdale.
Oh yeah. We actually binged Riverdale yesterday, and it was, I hated to admit it, but I was surprisingly into it.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing it. I've just started Luke Cage now that finales are mostly over.
And Luke Cage, about the halfway point is where it really gets you.
Yeah, I'm like one episode in.
Yeah. I mean, it's got some more, really good scenes, but like it's a good background show, and then it kind of kicks in, and it's a lot better show after it.
That first episode it was rough, man.
Hey, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. It's not like a grab you by the balls kind of show, but if you give it a minute, it will get to the point where you're clicking next and not even thinking about it.
Okay.
My take. I also recommend Legion or Preacher in your downtime if you haven't.
I'll get to Legion. I don't know about Preacher yet, but I'll get to Legion.
I found time for those somewhere in there.
Legion looks just too funky. It just looks so funky that I'm like, oh, I'm doing that. I'm like, yeah, whatever, Preacher. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, like.
Yeah. Legion, anyway. Take some chances.
You want to do the news?
Yeah, I guess we can do the news.
All right. So starting.
Just want to bullshit the whole thing?
Probably not.
We can just talk. Just chill.
So over to Gotham. Mazzuz.
Going over to Gotham. Stickler.
David Mazzuz wants to do a crossover with the Flareverse. He says, I feel like we could easily do a Flash crossover because he travels in time now. The biggest obstacle before the Flash came out, when it was just Arrow, was that Gotham is set in the past, and Arrow was set in the present. We were not in the same time period, so how could we possibly do a crossover? However, now that we know time travel is not only introduced, but widely used in the Flareverse with Legends of Tomorrow and The Flash, is very plausible that a crossover could happen because they could come back in time and visit Gotham. I would totally support it. I'm a huge fan. I think that would be awesome. Also, multiverses, guy. Multiverses.
Yeah.
But,
my favorite part about that is that he's keeping track of everybody else.
Yeah, I like that. I like that he is.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I don't want there to be a crossover, I don't think.
Yeah.
I just don't care enough. Like, I don't, like, what, I don't know. I don't know. If it was, like, in a movie, and we got to see, like, David Mazzuz as, like, you know, a near adult or something, hanging out with Affleck's Batman and all these cats from the CW shows, and they were doing, like, Crisis on Infinite Earths. Yeah. Okay. But I don't really care about a Gotham crossover with any of these shows.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not
against it.
Yeah, that's about where I am with it, I think, I guess.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go out of my way for it, but if it happened, to be, cool, let's do this, you know?
Yeah. So, the Gotham Season 3 Blu-ray is going to be available on August 29th. Over to Supergirl. I mean, I don't know what to tell you about the Blu-ray.
That's really all there is on that. I mean, shit.
Kind of want it. I mean, I'll buy it. I mean, it'll be on my shelf. They did a promo, a Supergirl Wonder Woman promo, new footage that's introduced by Supergirl. It has Melissa Benoist, Kyler Lee, Linda Carter, and Terry Hatcher. Also has the song "These Boots Are Made for Walking," and Supergirl is wearing the Gal Gadot Wonder Woman boots that she claims she quote borrowed from a friend.
It's a cool, I mean, it was
cute.
It's cute a little bit.
It was cute.
And the new footage was pretty great.
I mean, it was fun.
I liked it. I'm just kind of caught up in the hype machine right now for Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. So, following the Easter egg from Kevin Smith's episode, Melissa Benoist was asked about the fate of the Legionnaire's ring shout-out. She said, "The Legion ring, I believe, is on its way, but I don't know exactly when."
Yeah. Right. Not sure how to pinpoint that either, but still, nice to know that that it's in the air. You know,
I've said before, I think Mon-El will come back with the Legion.
Yeah, that was your hypothesis after watching him go into that little portal.
Yeah.
And I could dig the hell out of that, man. I hope you're right.
So, something else I thought of that they're talking about, casting for Rain has begun.
Yeah.
TV Line is reporting that casting for Rain as a major Season 3 Supergirl villain has officially begun. They're speculating she might appear in half of the season's episodes. So, hey.
Might be a pretty strong presence.
weird news. It looks like Floriana Lima, or Maggie Sawyer, will be returning after agreeing to marry Alex, but EW is reporting that she will not be a series regular. She says Sandverse fans are beautiful. The best part of playing Maggie is getting to share an inspiring love story and representing the LGBTQ community. While this role was only meant for one season, I'm excited to appear in season 3 as we see the Supergirl story unfold. Hashtag Sandverse, hashtag not over yet. So she seems kind of on board. I'd read reports that she had accepted another role on another show.
Mm.
So, you know.
So this might be more scheduling than anything else?
Yeah, I think it's probably more of a scheduling situation. But Cat Grant is still a wild card. She was listed as a series regular in the press release, but TV Line is reporting that Callista Flockhart is still not a given for season 3 of Supergirl. So just like last year, it will depend on scheduling.
Yeah, she's kind of hard to get.
Yeah, hopefully the show won't continue to use her as a crutch when they need her.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very small difference between like crutch and gravy, I guess I'll call it.
And what? Gravy?
Gravy or frosting or whichever.
Yeah. No, I felt like they were trying to use her for inspiration, which is what Supergirl should be, instead of a jerk.
Yeah, but it's also nice to have, like, Supergirl have a mentor. Mentoress.
All right, whatever. You know what? You know what? Let's just call this one. Let's call this argument. We're going to keep having this argument. This is, like, the third episode in a row. Not in a row, but the third episode we've done that we've had this argument. So let's move
on. We'll moratorium this thing.
The Supergirl.
I'm happy to call it round 10 undecided if you are.
well, hey, you know. The Supergirl Blu-ray DVD, Blu-ray and DVD, will be available August 22nd. That's for season 2. It will contain exclusive commentary from Andrew Kreisberg and Kevin Smith, as well as the full Comic-Con panel and featurettes. I could deal with more commentary from more writers. I wanted them to explain themselves.
It actually helps. Like, Futurama's DVDs come with commentary for every single episode, and I've loved every second of it.
Oh, yeah, because it's great, because they're like, okay, so here's what happened.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like, in some of the great moments, you know, you get to see the process behind that, and then some of the weirder moments, you get to see them kind of go, all right, here's what we were thinking.
That's why I like the Batman the Animated Series sets, because it felt like they were doing the episode. They chose like particularly bad episodes to do commentary on, I think just to explain themselves.
Nice.
Like the Farmer Brown episode in Volume 4.
Oh, yeah. Just
like, okay, so here's what happened.
Here was our idea. This is what happened anyway.
Yeah. Over to DC's Legends of Tomorrow. New art for season 3 has shown up. The first poster has been released by Brandon Ralph, and the important part is that it appears the team is fully intact with Sarah at the helm. Also, Maisie Richardson Sellers, or Vixen, explained her presence on the poster at the Heroes and Villains convention, saying, "I am definitely coming back next season." I didn't really have much of a problem with her, as I recall, except for that last bit where it was sort of like, what's she doing?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know. Whatever. Pretty good actress.
Yeah, I'd be happy to have her back.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just, as I've stated many times before, way more worried about Rex.
Yeah. So, over to Arrow Barrowman John, that is, post goodbye. He says, "By now you know that Malcolm Merlyn is no more. I know they've done it off camera, but I'm here to tell you I won't be coming back next season. I want you to know how wonderful it has been for the last 5 years to be part of the Arrow universe and all the shows connected to it." He added, "I'm very sad to be leaving the Arrowverse. I love playing Malcolm Merlyn. As sad as it may be, I understand how shows must change, and also characters must change and develop, something that his character never did."
Well, I mean,
they tried to shoehorn a thing in, but, you know.
They did mention it in the right. At the last minute, they did pull it in for him. And
yeah, to be fair, it's been very clear that he cares deeply for Thea. He loves her. You know, in his own twisted way, wanted to be her father.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of just being a dick to be a dick a little bit. But
that's a worthy cause. I don't judge it.
And I'm not sure it's a worthy cause.
But yeah, he, in his last moments, I'm paraphrasing deeply, but like, you may never see yourself as my daughter, but I'll always be your father.
No, you may never see me as your father, but you'll always be my daughter.
There you go.
Which, you know, doesn't hit quite as hard since Guardians Volume 2, but whatever.
All right, just because they knocked it out of the park doesn't mean that Arrow didn't do a damn good job here. Or that Barrowman and Thea didn't kind of kill it in that scene, because they did.
Look, they did, man. Hey, yes, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 knocked that out of the park, as you put it. But that doesn't justify Arrow doing a punt.
I'm not going to agree that was a punt. I'm just not. The scene itself, well played. The dialogue, above average, frankly. And
for Arrow.
Yeah, at least for Arrow. And it was a good way to go. And I kind of appreciate Barrowman coming on and mentioning, like, yeah, I know I died off screen, but that's for real.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a comics thing, unless you see the body, right?
I mean, it's a television and movies thing, unless you see the body. A comics thing, you can see the body.
That's true.
You can watch it be burnt to a crisp. Someone will clone you.
That's true. I mean, in the comics,
or
like,
in Wolverine's case,
Wolverine thrown into the sun.
Yeah, my still point fine. Exactly. But you know, I didn't really feel it as much as I felt like I should have for
Merlin. I don't think that they did a good job of justifying his actions, and
yes,
I saw where he was going. I liked what he did, and it made sense for his character. But they also didn't build up to it. And I'm not sure that's a bad thing. I'm actually, I can kind of get along with that to some extent.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. Because guys, what's happening to us? We're getting real disagreeable with each other.
That's the cost of actually having opinions.
Maybe Anfernee is right. We are starting to get like an old married couple.
You never know.
Anyway.
I mean, I haven't hired a divorce lawyer so far, so.
All right.
I think we're hanging in there.
All right. But I have hired an assassin on the dark web.
Oh, good. Back of the head, Dave. It's my only request. Back of the head. Quick and simple.
I was listening to Mike Birbiglia earlier this week, and he cracked me up with this bit about the Lincoln Hotel. Where it's like they're just attributing common quotes to Abraham Lincoln now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't just attribute everything to Abraham Lincoln. And then one of the common quotes that he attributed to Abraham Lincoln was, "Well, we already bought the tickets."
That guy's so good.
Yeah, he's pretty fantastic. Anyway,
there's a pro right there. Take our advice on this stand-up. If you're a fan, go check out Mike Birbiglia.
Yep. So Stephen Amell was on American Ninja Warrior, sort of. It was like a Red Nose Day charity American Ninja Warrior event. But we finally have footage of him running the whole course. Well, kind of. He ran the whole, anyway.
No,
he ran one course.
He ran the whole...
And he tried to do another.
I've actually seen this enough that, like, I flipped by in the middle of the night enough to see, like, he ran the course he was supposed to run, and then there's, like, the semifinals course afterward.
Right. With a salmon ladder.
Yeah.
But he hurt his arm.
His arm's fine. He did some x-rays afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah, his arm's fine.
Okay.
But that was why, like, he ran the normal course, got through it, kind of, like, flawlessly, because... Mm-hmm. Jesus, he's in great shape. And then decided he'd hit the salmon ladder just to raise a little more money for his run.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to pass the salmon ladder. He even went to like a new obstacle that literally no one's ever tried before. Some pegboard thing where like you I don't even know how to describe this. You you grab the side of a piece of wood and try to hop onto the other side of a disconnected piece of wood while you're in the air. I don't know. But he was a lot of fun to watch with his fans like he normally is. Like he engaged with them. Like there was lined with Aero fans. And
like his wife was there cheering him on.
Yeah. And there's a nice moment where like he gets to the end, you can tell his arms are just fucking done is what it amounted to. Like you can you can almost see him decide like, oh yeah, I can't even feel my fucking arms anymore. And he still takes the time to like do this like kind of gracious, hey, thanks for coming out, guys, kind of like kind of outro before he drops into the water, you know. And
yeah, I couldn't hear what he was saying. I made a decision to keep listening to Modest Mouse.
Oh, that's fair. That's always fair.
And just not listen to what Stephen Amell was saying to people.
Well, I mean, the white noise for Stephen Amell is he's good with his fans. So you can just assume that whatever he said, it was very I don't know, palliative for his fans. But
yeah.
And you got Modest Mouse instead, so it's not bad.
Yeah, had a little third planet going.
Ooh, it's
good. Little moon and Antarctica.
Good one.
It's a good thing.
You know what will mess you up 10 days, so, though? Listen to City of Ashes. That song will be in. Okay. That song will be in your head for 2 days.
I'll avoid it at all costs. Now, for each obstacle he completed, though, NBC donated $5,000 to Red Nose Day. He raised $35,000 with his course run.
Not a bad run, man.
He said Ninja Warrior was great. I got pretty far, but after the second obstacle, you'll see me before the third obstacle going like that to my arm. It's because I thought I tore my biceps off of the bone in the second obstacle. I couldn't feel anything from there to here. I think all things considered, it went pretty well. He said, I made it as far as I thought I could go.
I'm supposing it was the part where he just fell into the water voluntarily. But he's still like, you gotta give him credit as a gym rat. Like He thought he tore his bicep from his bone, and he still did the salmon ladder.
Hey, you know, I'm not taking him down. You know, I'm not going to complain. I couldn't even be bothered to turn off Modest Mouse to listen to what he had to say. He ran out of an obstacle course, you know, on the American Ninja Warrior. I got nothing.
Yeah.
Out of the two of us, I think I'm the piece of crap. I got nothing.
I remember listening to one of the commentators say, like, I don't know, man, the guy's 6'1", nothing but muscle. Yeah, this makes sense. there's like a gold medalist watching him, cheering him on, that I think he actually outpaced a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like a disturbingly believable that this guy might actually be that parkour arrow wielding asshole that we're watching.
Yeah. By the way, I don't see this listed here. I'm pretty sure I sent you a link. Maybe I didn't, but I didn't get to read it. Is he hinting that there's going to be like, he's going to have like the proper Ollie goatee next season?
Oh, no, he alluded to it.
Okay.
He did. You did send me the link. Illusion? he mentioned it. Well, but he mentioned a few things this week because he was at Heroes and Villains and he was just kind of filling in questions like, I don't know. Like it was a lot of question marks at the end of somebody's sentences, you know. Mm-hmm. Like one of the things that I didn't include in our news is he wants to make like a 98-minute version of Arrow on the, you know, big screen.
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't include any of that.
But, you know,
because I wouldn't have.
Yeah, it's just him talking. And, you know, like, Emily Bat Rickards was there at the time to pipe in with Batman.
Yes, she was.
And, even then, like, Stephen Amell says, like, with, you know what? I want Robbie Amell to play Batman. And there's been a lot of internet spatter about that. But,
yeah.
It's not so much news. It's just these guys talking at Heroes and Villains.
Right. Well, I wasn't really interested in that. I was interested about the goatee.
Yeah, that was part of that.
So he said that he would, or maybe, or just a maybe situation?
I think it was a maybe situation, yeah.
Okay.
I think we're stuck in a maybe area with that.
Okay.
Which is weird for a guy who wears a full quarter-inch beard most of the time.
Yeah. All right. So he did tease, though, season 6. He said the theme of season 5 is legacy. From what I understand, the theme of season 6 is family. I mean, how much more family can you get? I mean, didn't we do all that? We had, like, oh, my dad did this awful thing. And then we have, like, a return of Moira. We have him kind of patching things up with Speedy. We have, like, Speedy's like, oh, I'm a bad person. He's like, no, you just, you know, troubled and whatnot.
I mean, I guess the distinction there is the queen legacy, but
yeah.
At the same time, like, if I had to pick maybe what they're getting at for the difference, what he's getting at for the difference is if that was the queen legacy, then now he's got to deal with the queen family. Like, that was the past and what he's been left. Now he's going to move forward with his family.
All right. And you know what always helps deal with your family is a sick ass goatee.
Yeah.
Katie Cassidy. Katie Cassidy was asked about whether Black Siren would ever get screen time with White Canary, bringing versions of the Lance sisters together again. She said, I think that's something we'll definitely get to see next season, the different relationships, how each character will react. I don't know how Black Siren will react. I think she's very mysterious. That means that Katie Cassidy is not a writer.
that's what her mouth says. Because
the writers haven't given her much backstory.
Yeah.
But she apparently didn't know she would come back. She said, I have no idea what's going to happen. I've been very transparent. I didn't ask to leave. I didn't want to. But I understand the whole, from a producing standpoint and writing standpoint, it makes sense, the decision. And then the decision to bring you back, I had a conversation with Mark Guggenheim. He said, the day we shot my death scene, after I rapped, he said, would you consider coming to play with us in the future? I was like, absolutely. I've been here and I believe in the show since day one. And just because I'm not going to be around as often, as sad as that was, I will always be with the show. I had already seen this week. A lot of fans were like, she didn't even want to leave the show. And they made her, like, guys, put away your no Laurel, no Arrow hashtag. It's okay.
People come and go.
As a person who grew up in the late 80s also, and the 90s. I mean,
she came and went. Like, we were reporting a few months ago, oh, she's done, period. And then in their press, they changed courses, right?
Look, I mean, but look, as a person who grew up in the late 80s and early 90s and all through the 90s.
We're 90s kids.
One of the things that I always wanted to see on television and the shows that I gravitated toward were the ones that were already doing this. I want to see characters that I care about bite the dust. I want to see that there are stakes.
Yeah.
I don't want to cause any spoilers for people, but I mean, let's look at MASH.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it came out in 72. I'm sorry if you haven't seen it yet, but they killed off a character.
But someone didn't make it.
A main character named Henry Blake. He was a fantastic, lovable character. Today, he would be considered a sexist, and he was back then as well, to be fair. But he was still a lovable character, and they killed him off, and it was really sad. But they actually, like, went into, like, they did a great thing where they said, okay, well, yes, they're on the front lines. War is hell. This is a comedy, but real shit happens.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I liked about it is that, you know, it was a sitcom in the 1970s, but they weren't afraid to be like, yeah, guys go over here and they cheat on their wives. Yeah, they go over here and they freaking die. Even if they're funny, they die. And it's sad because human beings are human beings. I don't condone cheating on your significant other by any stretch. That's awful. But, people are crap. So
we make lots of mistakes. Also, like, growing up in the 90s, Tara was one of the major turning points in, like, me growing up as a person.
What was?
Tara dying on Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was one of the ones that was just...
You know what? Tara didn't matter to me.
But it was brutal, and it mattered, and they didn't... There was no undo button, and it was senseless, you know?
Yeah. I like I liked that it was senseless, and it did matter. Let me restate that. It did matter to me, but I never like really liked the character very much. Loved Willow, and I loved her reaction to it. But for whatever reason, Amber Benson as an actress never really appealed to
never
me too much.
Never connected to her.
Yeah,
I mean,
I guess I did on some peripheral level, but and she was fantastic.
I was there with that.
I don't want to be unclear.
Also, was it Lila, the teacher?
Hmm?
Was it Lila, the teacher that Angel killed?
Lila? No, like Jenny Callender was her name.
Jenny Callender.
And
thank you.
That
I don't
was,
know why I got Lila.
That was the
out of
one that really. I don't know. That was like I think Lila was the female lawyer on Angel that Wesley fell for.
Yes. You're right. Okay.
But
that was another kind of like, it was senseless and it just happened and you had to deal with it and watch people do it. Like watching Giles deal with her, with Jenny's death was kind of like a,
yeah, the Jenny Callender
turning
thing
point
was
for me
hard.
When I was, you know,
yeah,
in my teens watching television, learning about the world,
like,
I guess.
Oh yeah. And I will admit like the Tara thing did like, I was like, Oh,
that's one of those where you go, oh, goddamn. Yeah.
And I suspected that, like, Willow was going to become, like, go, like, Uber Witch mode and, like, save her. Like, kind of, like, do, like, a time-bending spell and save her or, like, resurrect her or something. But then she didn't. She just almost destroyed the world. And,
and flays a guy.
Because of Allison Hannigan and how fantastic she is, as an actress.
She is solid.
I really felt a lot more than I would have. Like, Tara was never one of my favorites. Jenny Callender, I felt for. But to be fair to Amber Benson, she didn't do a bad job. It was just the character. It wasn't even her. It was like,
I thought they both
did
well.
The character
and
somehow.
They had a great relationship between her and Giles.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not talking about Jenny
Callender.
I'm talking about Tara.
her and Willow.
I don't know. I don't know what it was. Like, I've watched other things that Amber Benson has done. I haven't had a problem with her. I don't know what it was about Tara specifically in the show.
You know, I actually don't think I've seen her anywhere else. But she did, I don't know. I did care about her within the context of that show.
I think
I really
like
their
they were on a. I feel like they were on a path to make me feel more for her, but then they kind of got sideswiped into this concept of Willow becoming addicted to magic and then like wiping Tara's memory, and I felt bad for her for that, but you know, it was and she was fantastic and once more with filling.
Oh yeah, great episode.
And
all
I don't
around.
Know. I don't know. I'd rather move on because I don't know what else to say. I don't, my own weird proclivities aside, Amber Benson.
It's actually a good point.
For my
we
pleasure with Tara.
We have We have done our weekly accidental
Bad
other
winter.
Episode.
Yeah. Yeah. what I was saying, though, is that I longed for television shows who were willing to kill off characters. One of the most boring aspects of television. And one of the reasons television is now starting to usurp movies is because television shows have started to grow balls. I mean, I don't want to be sexist. Let's just say it a different way. television shows now have the guts to do what movies used to do, which is they're willing to kill off characters. Now movies are all about like the franchising. They don't want to kill off main characters.
So you're saying they're switching. Like when you saw somebody in the main credits of a TV show, you knew they were going to be there the whole time.
Yeah, and, you know, Buffy subverted that the first episode.
Yeah.
The first episode we had a guy in the opening credits that was killed. So, you know, I think, you know, you look at Walking Dead, you look at Breaking Bad, you look at all these different shows, and they're killing off main characters whenever they feel like it.
Yeah.
And I'm down for that. I want to be surprised, even if it means that I lose somebody I love.
I really am. For the right purposes, anybody can be written off.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing personal, but good writing is good writing.
Mm-hmm. And then I look back on like DS9, and we were like, we all knew that like Jadzia was going to bite the bullet because Terry Farrell didn't, or Farrell, however you say her name, didn't renew her contract, and like it had been reported on like something bad is going to happen with Gul Dukat, and I'm like, I was happy that she, you know, that they were willing to go that measure, especially since she and Worf were married by that point. But it was still like, no, let's not tell people. Don't be like, hey, the contract didn't get renewed. Lord. So
I actually vaguely remember what you're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway,
but that is superhero that is girls. That is a 20-plus-year-old memory.
Yeah. Well, you know, not quite. Not quite. Don't rush
it. A little less?
Don't rush our lives.
20-ish? 20-ish year old memory.
98. So
18-year-old-ish memory.
19. You know. Anyway, Superhero Girls has been picked up at Cartoon Network. The popular YouTube series and direct-to-DVD franchise Superhero Girls is making the move to major networks. Cartoon Network has picked it up for air in 2018. Writer Shea Fontana says she's not involved in the new show. That's weird. And that it will be a reimagining of the current material. Again, weird and disappointing.
A little weird. And Fontana, as far as I've heard from the reviews, is doing a pretty good job with Wonder Woman right now. So, and with a DC superhero. So I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing there.
That is bizarre to me. What are web videos, the new pilot?
I don't know.
I give it my old man of approval.
I thought that was your norm.
Or of disapproval. It is a little bit of norm.
I thought that was your norm disapproval.
Yeah, well, you know, Norm's an old man now, so.
See, that's the old man. You do a Norm. I do an old man.
Yeah, it just sounded like Norm to me.
Really?
To anyone who doesn't know what the hell we're talking about, Norm MacDonald, comedian Norm MacDonald, if you don't know what we're talking about. Go check out Norm MacDonald. He has a new Netflix special. It's pretty phenomenal. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right. So, an official trailer has dropped for Batman and Harley Quinn. EW dropped it, and it'll be released this year, but the trailer still just says available soon. What did you think, man? Did you think it was any... Did it shed any new light on it?
No. I mean, it's almost scene for scene like what we've seen before. And kind of badly cut, honestly. It's kind of a bad trailer.
I agree. It's a pretty bad trailer. I'll be honest, I was a little uncomfortable. They started out the trailer with Harley bending over a table, serving a bunch of dudes, and telling this dude that if he touches her ass, that, you know, she's going to take him out.
Yeah.
And I was a little, she's like in this like skirt with panties, this short skirt with panties, and we see from like the ass, like, you know, you've heard of the bird's eye view, the worm's eye view. This is the ass eye view. It was like a close-up of her ass, and I'll be honest, I was a little uncomfortable with how much they actually articulated what I will refer to as cooter lumps.
That area.
I
actually didn't...
Uncomfortable with the vaginal mound.
I didn't catch that, but
I felt like there was a couple of well-placed curves. That may have accentuated.
Well, we've known Bruce Timm is capable of that for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, when controversy sparked over the first premiere of this movie, I kind of went, they're crazy. And they're blowing it out of proportion. This time, even though the content was a little less provocative, they kind of showed other provocative things, and I was kind of like, maybe we shouldn't be doing that.
Might be a thing we're doing here. Okay.
But, you know, beyond that...
Between that and the Killing Joke, maybe it's just Bruce Timm is going to have characters have animated sex. That's maybe the last half of his career.
I don't know.
We don't know.
Whatever. I mean, look, you know, we saw what happened to Ed Wood. We know it's not outside of the realm of possibility. Whatever.
Even if he goes down, even if he's as one of those guys that's like, oh, we can't trust him anymore, we still have Paul Dini.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, yeah. Pushing past any weirdness that I may have felt in the Batman and Harley Quinn trailer about in regards to cooter lumps. The Floronic Man, his dialogue seemed pretty bad, and the animation seemed pretty bad. Not digging the little whatever the weird pupils that Nightwing has in his mask. Not digging that at all.
Yeah.
Other than that, I was pretty on board. I still am not on board the Harley Quinn voice. I don't like it very much. It doesn't quite sound right to me. I know it's a different actress, but whatever. Do what you can.
No, the animation's a little off, and it she doesn't feel Jersey enough. I'm
no, yeah.
I'll get behind you on both of those, actually.
Yeah, the animation seems.
I would have to see it, I'm not gonna judge on the trailer cut. I want to see the actual film before I judge the animation.
Yeah,
but yeah. It's not like it. You know, she doesn't have that twang to it, you know.
Yeah, it's a little like a bad imitation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll judge it, and it'll be on my shelf. Don't worry about that, guys. I'm enough of a fan that it'll be on my shelf. But I don't know. We might be looking at another Mystery of the Batwoman here.
So far, Batman himself has actually been pretty funny. Like at least worth a good. Yeah. Chuckle when I've seen him in the trailer.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, you want to get to listener feedback?
We can.
Hey, guys. This is Matthew from the Superhero Ethics Podcast. I'm a huge fan of you guys, and we've communicated a few times. And I just wanted to say I've loved so much about your podcast. But in particular, I was listening to your podcast episode about the end of Flash. And the way you guys both talk without any shame or concern about the things that emotionally hit you and the times you cry. As a guy growing up, I was always taught men never show emotions, and that's certainly a theme, I think, in a lot of the TV shows and movies that we all talk about. You know, so many of these heroes are the big, strong, silent type, and I think it is so important for men to be able to talk about how these things hit us, and I've certainly cried watching some of these shows. I've cried some of the DC movies, and certainly the end of Flash definitely hit me pretty hard, and it meant so much to me to hear guys talking about that. One more awesome thing is you guys do. Thanks for the podcast. Thanks for the chance to speak to people. And I hope to have you guys on my podcast sometime soon. Take care.
All right, Matthew, dude. Yes. By the way, guys, if you haven't heard Superhero Ethics, it's a great podcast. You should go check that out.
Oh yeah.
And, yeah, man, I don't know. I was kind of raised the same way in a way, like not like explicitly, but, I don't know. We like as a kid, I always made me and my sisters always kind of made fun of the adults who cried at movies, like male or female, and it was always female because our male family members didn't take us to movies. But they, but you know, as I got older, like I don't know, I think it probably. Came about the point of Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, where I was just like sobbing at the death of Spock, knowing that he was coming back in the next movie. But, and you know, of course, you know, things like MASH and, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly and all of that stuff really pushed me to be like, dude, you know, and it wasn't even like a situation where I was like, oh no, I'm not going to cry. But there was definitely a stigma, not just with male or female for me and my family, but just like with anyone who's like crying, there's always like a thing of like, it's just a movie. It's just a television show. But like I said before, nothing really happened on television shows except for like those very special episodes, where something would happen, where somebody would have AIDS or somebody would, you know, get pawed in a car or something.
Yeah. Oh, and also TV got a little better.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way too, where, I mean, it was one thing to if someone made fun of you for crying back in the day where, like, Jesse was hooked on caffeine pills, I can understand why that might happen, though I would still take your side.
Hold on. Are you seriously referencing Saved by the Bell right
Damn
now?
Damn right I am.
This from the man who gives me a stink eye whenever I play Survivor, Eye of the Tiger?
I mean, like, I get it. Like, there has actually been a progression. But same way, like, It's a Wonderful Life is still a movie that if it chokes you up, it chokes you up, and that's fine.
Oh, you know what gets me is that My Life, starring Michael Keaton and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, my Lord. Like, that is just, like, I will be, like, an inconsolable mess for 3 days after watching that shit.
Yeah. No, the only thing is, like, I won't judge a single person for having an emotion ever. That's not a thing that's in me. I will judge somebody for having a bad taste, but that is an entirely different conversation.
Well, taste is subjective, you jerk.
But it's called taste. That's what you get to do, because it's like, if me and you and everyone listening to us right now didn't have taste, we wouldn't all be, you know, listening to us right now.
Right.
That's
I don't know about everybody else. I'm not listening to us right now.
I mean, I am. My half of it.
By default.
Yeah. It's a little known fact. I don't even listen to Dave while we're recording. I just kind of say shit and hope it works out.
Likewise.
It's been magical that we've made it this far.
Have we, though? Have we?
400, baby! 400!
Like, I'm surprised we haven't gotten feedback from people who are like, seriously, it just sounds like you guys are waiting for your turn to talk. But no,
I don't listen. I just laugh periodically and hope Dave's funny. That's what happens.
You're like that freaking alien on Rick and Morty who just laughs every 10 seconds for no
reason. Right, right. I'm just kind of like hanging in there, going like, Dave, you got to pull this in because my speakers aren't working today.
At some point, I don't know when this was. At some point, I just decided, I think it was probably around 20, 21 years old, I was like, you know, it's stupid to continuously, like, hold back tears because you're ashamed of feeling emotions. That's what we're doing as human beings, is just feeling emotions all the time and reacting to it. And when we go to see a movie or we go to watch a television show, what we're doing is looking for something to relate to, a way to feel. So if I'm going to do a podcast where I'm talking about these shows, I'm going to be honest, you know, for as much as I go like, oh man, that shit fell flat. I didn't really care what they were doing. Like we were just talking about with John Barrowman and Thea. I'm like, it didn't connect with me. I didn't really feel bad about Malcolm, blah, blah, blah. But you know, if I'm going to go that route and be as negative as I can be, I'm also going to go to the other spectrum and be fair about it and be like, yo, you guys had me, like, crying my ass off.
Yeah, like Oliver telling Adrian, like, you son of a bitch. It's, like, at that point, you're seriously invested. It's
yeah.
It's a thing. And for me, it was probably, like, I don't know, 16, listening to a few songs where I felt something for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't really been able to experience something like that before. And then, yeah, probably 20, 21, probably around that age where I actually kind of felt something, I guess, from, like, I've been a little short on empathy in my life. It's kind of a problem that's been pointed out to me is,
yeah,
I'm not as quick to it as other people are. like I have to do it logically. Other people just feel things for other people. I just kind of have to work through it, do the math, you know. But so I was probably in like my mid 20s before I started like feeling things for other people and getting to that point where I could really just, you know, tear up and not give a shit.
Yeah.
And
oh man, I remember
I got to say the not giving a shit came slightly before the tearing up. Like I decided I didn't care. Kind of how I was perceived, and then slightly after that, found my empathy bone, I guess I'll call it.
Your empathy bone?
I don't really know another word for it, so I'm going to call it that in lieu.
Yeah.
And, those are the two parts to this equation.
Yeah. I remember...
It did. It really helped me grow, though, like as a person, to be able to do that. To be able to watch these shows that we love and connect with these characters and ideas, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I remember being in college and like just weeping openly on Buffy, and my roommate at the time was just like, what the hell's wrong with you? And I was like, shut up, asshole. This shit's sad.
And it even got to it got to the point even where it was defensive, where I'm like, I'm sorry for you that you don't feel this. But that took me a while.
That one
took me a few years to get to the point where I'm like, man, I'm sorry you think making fun of me is the thing to do right now. Like that you should be feeling something because you're a human.
Yeah, I remember he and I watched Once More with Feeling because he was just as into Buffy as I was. We watched Once More with Feeling together. And as Buffy gets to the point where she, you know, sings the bit where she says, there was no pain, no fear, no doubt till you pulled me out of heaven.
Oh, Jesus.
I think I was in heaven.
Jesus.
And then like it like cuts to Willow like weeping openly that she pulled her friend out of heaven. Like he starts making fun of me because I'm crying, and I look over, I'm like, dude, you have tears streaming down your face. And he's like, no, I don't. I'm like, shut up. You do. What's wrong with you? Like, are you seriously reacting to me openly crying with tears running down your face, like trying to attack me? Like, idiot.
One of my favorites Ewan Bethany over one night to watch the Office finale.
Oh, that Office finale.
It was funny. It was good TV. It's not like we cried for 90 minutes here. It's just that there were a couple of good moments. And
that last 20 minutes, I'm pretty sure we were just sobbing
periodically. Just kind of like any one of us at any moment making the sound.
Yeah. What I was going to say earlier, though, is I remember like the first song that really got to me. Like I was running pizza delivery probably 8 or 9 years ago, probably more. And I walk into the store and I've clearly been crying, and they were like, "Oh, dude, are you okay? Did something happen?" And I'm like, "No, just listen to Goodnight Saigon by Billy Joel." And they were like, "What?" And I was like, "Friggin' Nylon Curtain, man."
How do you not get this? How?
Anyway.
Oh, it's rough.
Yeah, dude.
Matthew, I appreciate the feedback, man. I
really do, yeah, man.
When it comes down to it, we just don't give a shit.
Yeah, but to society's credit, you're the first one who's ever brought it up.
Yeah,
and you had a positive reaction.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's where we're trending. I just to speak for Dave and I, we have been around each other too long and have the same instinct for that. So we just stopped caring a long time ago. We just got way too comfortable with what would be called the feminine side. We don't care anymore.
And, you know, I don't think it's the feminine side. I think, I don't know. I don't want to get overly, I realize that the material that I'm about to bring up is a religious material, but I listened to this thing years ago called Wild at Heart. And one of the great things about that is they talked about, and I mean years and years ago I listened to this thing, but one of the things that he talked about was, you know, how men are not able to, he actually got pretty psychological about how men are not able to express emotion because of, like, psychological wounds that their fathers leave, about how, like, you know, their fathers are unable to express emotion, so then they, like, grow up feeling like they shouldn't express emotion. And I just never wanted to fall into that. And I, you know, absolutely, I had those beginnings. I don't know. I've always been sort of rebellious in that regard. I'm like, no, you know what? I'm a person and I feel things. I have feelings and I shouldn't be ashamed of that. And so I've just sort of, you know, I had to train myself to feel like it was okay to let that out. But,
you know, I,
honestly, man, Matthew, your voicemail made my week though.
Yeah. That was nice to hear. I got to give my dad credit though. He actually was the more emotional of my two parents here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it's been. Like my,
that's how my brother-in-law's parents are.
They both got their ups and downs, but like it, as far as the, emotionality of it, then yeah, I mean, my dad's been more willing to express his feelings than my mom is. So I had a pretty good role model for it.
You know,
and that's a guy that's like coming out of, you know, the early 70s being raised.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm, like I said, I'm happy to be, whatever, source of inspiration or whatever it is in that regard. And, happy to have you as a listener.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you do a mighty damn fine podcast yourself there. Yeah.
And, we really should hook up with them in the future.
We absolutely should. But you know, it's summertime. So those possibilities are all opening suddenly.
Finally.
Because we don't have like a million shows to cover. Anyway, speaking of a really good podcast, popping over to voicemail number two, our buddy Deej Penhollow from the Nerd Talkalypse podcast.
What's up, DC on screen? It is your buddy Deej Penhollow over at the Nerd Talkalypse podcast. Just stopping in saying, hey, heard Dave read the number on the thing. I was like, I'm going to leave him a voicemail. Why the heck not? But I haven't seen any of the season finales yet, the CW stuff. I don't watch those until Mondays. But I don't know. I really don't know what to say. I just wanted to tell you guys I love you guys. Love the show. Keep going. Bye.
All right. I don't know what to say either, buddy.
Thanks for checking in, man.
Thanks for checking in. Glad you enjoy the show. Enjoy your show, too.
Yeah.
When I can get the time to pop on over. I'll be honest. I never listened to a full episode because you guys talk too much about other things that I haven't gotten to yet. And I don't want spoilers.
That is. So
that'll happen.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. But Deej is good people.
Yeah.
And you guys should go check out the Nerd Talkalypse if you're all caught up. They talk about a lot of different stuff, a lot of different geek properties. Rick's story on Twitter, old man Rick 68, you can find him there. He says, I'm so glad I wasn't the only one who thought it was a terrible idea for Kara to beat Superman. It made no sense in the big picture. And we did talk a little bit longer about this on Twitter, and he agrees with me that it wasn't earned. It didn't really feel earned at this point in Supergirl's arc. And I'm not sure where you fall on that side of the argument, because I don't remember what we said.
I was still willing to give her the back door that the DEO trained her better than maybe Superman did, but
War World, yeah, okay,
yeah, but he's been to War World, so I'm
yeah, it's still a little unearned.
I'm on
right?
the fence with both of you. I mean,
yeah, okay. Travis Hines, this is the cat that talked to us. He sent us a voicemail last week. He had a lot to say. He said, "Awesome podcast yet again, guys." I agree with you guys that Mon-El will be back next season with the Legion. Very nice crossover idea. You will hear from me again. Love talking DC. And thank you for that, dude. Like, to be fair, he did say a lot more, but a lot of it was very referential to last week, and I kind of wanted to kind of pull a close to that and just kind of get to the core of what he was talking about here. And moving on to Nerdytastic on Twitter says, I was listening to y'all and saw a sign for some mechanical and facility repair, but I totally read it as Metropolis and Felicity.
We've done our jobs.
Oddly, it reminded me of that bit from American Psycho where he's in the club with these women and they're like screaming over the club music. It was like the only movie I know of where they were legitimately like portraying the club scene, because most movies and television, they they're having full conversations without any problem hearing each other over the club music, because the club music is like way down.
Right.
But in this instance, like the club music is just like boom, boom, ins, 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 ins.
No, you seriously have to know sign language.
And the girls are yelling at this one girl is yelling at Patrick Bateman in American Psycho, and she's like, what do you do? And he screams, murders and executions mostly. And she's like, oh, cool. I knew a guy who was into mergers and acquisitions as well. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
I think that poor girl's head wound up in a freezer. Moving on.
To more pleasant subjects.
Now, I did respond in depth on this on Facebook, but and I respond on all of this, you know, we're not going to put all that on here. Matthew Ryan Cronin says, pure question theory guess, what if season 4 is basically of The Flash? It's just going to be a riff off of DC Rebirth, and they're just going to flip Wally and Barry from the comic. Now, I think... And this is just me, like, because nothing, it hasn't come out yet. Nothing has come out about season 4, really. I think with what they're doing, I think they're going to do their own version of Mark Waid's Terminal Velocity story.
Yeah.
I think Matthew is right. I totally think they're going to flip Wally and Barry, but not with Rebirth. I think, because in Terminal, Wally saved Linda Park from a seemingly non-corrective series of events that would lead to her death. Does that sound familiar to anyone?
Yeah.
And, but in this version, in Terminal Velocity, he ran faster than the speed of the Speed Force or something. And he wound up becoming merged with it. And he went to Speedster Heaven and he evolved and became way more powerful. And he became more confident with his powers and with his role as the Flash. And then he came back because Heaven didn't have Linda Park. So I think they'll do that, but with Iris West and Barry, and I think that's what they'll do. And they've already established that Iris is Barry's lightning rod.
They've already established that a few times. Like, I'll always come back to you, and little quotes like that.
Mm-hmm. They can't go wrong adapting.
We talked about this
story
before too. It's just kind of an cliffhanger for your titular character to be in danger.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm okay with it if he comes back, you know, and he's not whiny anymore, because I felt like that was kind of that's been a real lull with the Flash, is that he's not confident. He's not the cheerful character he was. He's very saddled with the baggage of his past. Now he's almost, Oliver-esque at times.
I had to admit that was, one of the bright spots of some of the episodes this season in The Flash, was like watching Iris get to appreciate him with all the baggage off.
Uh-huh. Just that one episode.
Yeah. That was
when he lost his memory.
Yeah.
So
that was really rewarding, but
I think they'll do Terminal Velocity. I mean, they probably won't do it exactly, obviously, but they'll flip it and they'll mess around with it a little bit, but
that's a good theory.
You can't go wrong adapting Mark Waid. Mark Waid is a fantastic writer.
Yes.
Some of the best Justice League stories out there are Mark Waid stories. Kingdom Come, I mean, Justice League Year One. I mean, if you don't like any of that, I don't even know why you're listening to this or any other DC podcast, because Mark Waid is like creme de la creme, guys.
He's seriously... What, top five worst case scenario?
I mean, yeah, if not top three. Like, seriously, if someone came to me
and said... I feel like
if
we tried to make that list, we'd just piss a lot of people off. But still, it's going to be like, Miller, Gaiman, Johns, Mark Waid, they're all up there, right?
If someone came to me and said, hey, we want you to pick the people who are going to be charged of the DC movies and television from this day forth... Mark Waid, Grant Morrison, Paul Dini, Scott Snyder.
Johns.
Jeff Johns, yeah. I mean, well, she's already there. But
I just wanted to stay there. Keep your office.
Yeah.
Don't take any pictures down, buddy. You're going to be here.
Yeah. And if we get a sixth, Joss Whedon, that's how much I like Mark Waid, is like, I'm willing to be like, you know what? Joss can take a hit for it, for the team. Take it out. Yeah. Mark Waid is that damn good.
There's been some fantastic stories.
And no, I wouldn't pick Greg Rucka. Don't even ask, because no. I don't know why. A lot of people like Greg Rucka. A lot of people like Greg Rucka. I've never really liked anything he's done. Like, he's never stood out to me. It's been passable to me. And that's, like, across the board. Marvel, DC, whatever. Like, I'm just like, eh, it's all right.
Oh, that's rough.
I take it you disagree.
What I've seen, I actually do like, but...
I mean, I
gotta admit, though, you're right, though. His name doesn't, like, jump to mind as greatest ever.
And to me, like, that's not even, like, really an insult. Like, Greg Rucka, I would be, like, you know, middling. If someone was like, hey, we need, you know, another guy, and these guys can't handle it, I'm like, yeah, Greg Rucka would probably be fine. You know? I don't, there's no point where I'm like, oh, yeah, no, Greg Rucka's a terrible writer. Because he's not. He's a fantastic writer, but he's not as good as the other five or six I mentioned.
Just never done the knock your dick in the dirt kind of thing.
And I'm not going to mention names, but there are actual writers that I've read that I would just be like, you know what? We don't, not only do we not give them a job, we take them behind a shed and we put two in the back of their head. Like Captain Cold.
Yep.
Not really, guys. Come on. Jeez, you guys are sick if you think that I'm actually talking about killing people that I don't like. My gosh.
How dare you?
How dare you? This is the DC TV podcast. We're mentioning Captain Cold and referencing him. All of his glory. I don't know what that was about, but whatever.
I don't know. I you know, Prison Break is finale-ing.
Right.
So hopefully he'll have more time to show up sometime.
Importantly, I like Wentworth Miller.
I do. I like the cat.
And I reference him too much. On Facebook earlier this week, I asked, what was your favorite CW series this season? Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, or Legends of Tomorrow? And here are just a few of the many replies. Scott Madison says, it was a pinched battle, but Flash still takes my top rank, followed by Arrow, closer than it's ever been since Flash debuted. The consistently strong character development and performances on Flash tip the scales in his favor. Josh McKay says, definitely Arrow, but in second place, The Flash. Supergirl needs to be Supergirl, and Legends, who knows where that's heading. I think Supergirl and Legends are desperately trying to figure out where they're supposed to be going. That's just my opinion. Which you tune in for.
I mean, I right now I have it as Arrow. I never thought I would say this, but Arrow pulled it out this season.
It did.
I thought they actually outperformed. And
yeah, and
Flash kind of, it did. It has its hiccups.
Yeah, it had a few hiccups this season, for real. And, you know, the overwhelming majority on Facebook said Arrow. Arthur White said Arrow. It's nice to be able to say that again instead of, oh, for F's sake, Oliver.
And a lot of props to John Segarra.
Yeah.
Josh Segarra, sorry.
Josh Segarra, yeah.
that guy did.
Always a stunning example of professionality.
Oh, thanks for keeping me in check. Yeah, that guy really pulled it away this season, I thought.
He did. Dylan Belcher, though, he disagrees. He says, I have to give it to The Flash, then Legends, and then Arrow. What? Really?
Yeah, I don't know if I can get behind that order. I
don't know. I know I can't get behind that order.
I mean, for me, it's Arrow, Legends, and then like a toss up between Supergirl and Arrow, Flash, and then like a coin toss between Arrow and Supergirl and Legends.
Yeah, but Dylan, we love you for responding, buddy.
Thank you
so much. Also, Scott McClellan,
feel free to like pull in and expound that.
Yeah, do that. Scott McClellan said Arrow. I'm sorry, was this a serious question?
Fair enough, Scott.
Yeah. Glenn Hughes says, Arrow, season 5 has been tremendous. Made up for seasons 3 and 4. Gotham next, then Flash. Loved how Arrow tied everything in with the island. Cannot wait for the winter for it to return. Flash, I thought, was very predictable. Myself and my mate Dan called HR during what he did a week before. Love Gotham this season. We called it too. I called it. I don't know about Jason. Nah. I don't remember what you said.
They've called it.
I called it.
They've called it.
But Glenn also goes on to say, my 7-week-old son William agrees with Arrow being awesome. And his 7-week-year-old son, or his 7-week-old son, was wearing a onesie that says, you have failed the city. And, you know, the cool thing about Glenn is he's really into sports. And he thought we were going to be big mates, but I said I didn't care for the sports. But I told him, I was like, we can still be big mates because you and me, you like sports and I can't stand them. So I mean, we're best friends. So, you know, I think you should get up with Glenn and you guys should talk about sports.
We can knock that out. Yeah. Yeah.
Glenn Hughes, man.
Yeah. Hit me up, Glenn.
Ryan Permison. Now, this is a guy, and this is absolutely serious. This is a guy I know in real life. He was a member of the Entertainment Roundtable, the radio show that I used to do. And Ryan responded, and he says, Legends of Tomorrow, Gotham, The Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl. Arrow has started to make its comeback, but it still has a lot to do before I watch it again. Here are his suggestions for what they should do on Arrow.
I'm gonna preface his suggestions with bollocks, man.
You should.
Bollocks,
here
right.
Here are his suggestions. Kill Felicity.
I'm already off board with whatever's happening here.
Yeah. Bring back Black Canary. Don't have Black Siren on Earth 1 when she belongs on Earth 2. Kill off a certain supporting character other than Felicity. I don't know who that is. Have better villains because Prometheus was not a big surprise when you found out it was Chase. Whatever happened to Vigilante anyway? Actually, Vigilante's coming back next season, they said. He was a good villain. Supergirl doesn't exist because it is not the Supergirl we need or deserve. Laura Vandervoort of Smallville is and will always be Supergirl, in my opinion. Boom. Drop the mic. Please don't pick it up again.
Short of Supergirl being a symbol of hope, I don't know where else I can agree with him.
I'm
sorry, Ryan. I have agreed with you on past occasions many times. This is not one of those.
Yeah, no. I don't know what to do with this. Kill Felicity? Absolutely not. Love Felicity. I don't know that I necessarily love her with Oliver, but I love Felicity.
She is the definition of breakout character.
Yeah. I absolutely don't want to bring back Black Canary. Otherwise, we have no stakes. And I wasn't a big fan of Laurel anyway. Black Siren, put her wherever the hell you like. I don't think Earth 2 characters should stay on Earth 1. That's called segregation, Ryan. That's wrong. I don't know who this other person you want to kill off is, but whatever. Diggle, maybe? I don't know. And that's called racism. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm kidding.
I'm really not sure about who else.
I don't know.
I was trying to put that in context, and I'm not sure. But
have better villains because Prometheus was not a big surprise. It doesn't have to be a surprise to be a big. It was not a surprise, but necessarily
it was
but
a good villain though. For like the first,
it was absolutely a good villain.
Couple of months of this season, you had no idea who you're dealing with.
Like a good villain isn't necessarily predicated on being a surprise. I mean, let's be fair. They had kind of built up Adrian Chase to be Vigilante because Adrian Chase's name, and Ryan prides himself on not having read the comics, so I know he doesn't know this, but and he actually also probably doesn't listen to the show because he has said he doesn't think that we should be doing this show because we're not true DC fans. I don't know.
Fair enough. All right. I feel like that's great standing for this back and forth. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, okay, to be fair, I don't know what he does. I don't know whether he listens to the show or not. He did tell me that he was going to listen to the Man of Steel until he realized it was over 2 hours long. But
it was.
Man of Steel
that
is like his
fault. Sorry.
Yeah. Man of Steel is like his favorite movie, but he didn't like Batman v Superman as much as we did. So I don't know.
I don't know how to feel. Yeah.
And he has an obsession with Laura Vandervoort of Smallville. Look, here's the thing. I was in a movie with Laura Vandervoort.
Oh, cool.
I did some extra work, and she seemed like a perfectly nice individual. I didn't meet her per se. I was very close to her. She seems like a nice person, but she's not a very good actress. She's just not. She wasn't on Smallville. She was just kind of there.
You didn't Melissa see her and think this person Melissa reeks Benoist. Of
yeah
elegant
look
performance
I was okay
possibilities.
I was in a movie that was not even considered a real movie by the people who were making said movie because I knew the people who were making the movie.
That's a pretty good downgrade.
This was like a made-for-TV thing. It was there. I went for the experience. You might see me in some background scenes sitting, looking annoyed in a leather jacket in the very back. I watched her do this scene over and over again, and she was fine. She wasn't terrible, but she wasn't like knock you on your ass or anything.
Yeah.
She didn't ever really impress me on Smallville. And I love Smallville in a lot of ways. And I say in a lot of ways.
Sure.
Not every way.
No.
Melissa Benoist knocks this chick out of the park. And, yes. You know, besides everything, Laura Vandervoort showed up on Supergirl as Brainiac. Clearly, she's made peace with the fact that she's not Supergirl anymore.
Yeah.
She's successfully passed the baton over to Melissa Benoist, and rightfully so. We've all had a lot of fun with the legacy casting. Time to let it go, Ryan.
Now,
time to let it go, friend.
Benoist saying goodbye to Mon-El alone was enough to just give up on the idea that Vandervoort was a better actress. Just done.
Absolutely.
We're done. We're done here.
Absolutely.
Conversation closed.
Absolutely.
I feel objectively over.
But, you know, if you disagree with us, feel free to tell us and we'll talk about it next week. Because, guys, we are done. Do you have anything else? I don't have anything else.
No, let's call it.
Guys, we're DC On Screen. You know who we are. DCOnScreen.com for every episode. For free. Every episode. All 400 of them. And this is the 400th episode, if I didn't mention earlier.
Woo!
I
keep trying to woo.
Gosh, we've been doing this for 400 episodes. That's crazy.
Not a natural wooer, either. It's going to sound very strange.
No, you're not a natural wooer. You should just stop.
Yeah. I mean, I will now, because you're probably done mentioning them.
Just leave the wooing for the women,
for the experts,
on the girls' night out.
That's fair.
Going to the Alamo Draft House, watching Wonder Woman without men.
That's fair.
I don't know. That seems like a place where wooing would happen.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Does the Alamo Draft House serve drinks?
It does.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I might identify as a woman.
I think we missed that airing. We'll be there in a few days, though.
anyway, I'm kidding, guys. Whatever. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, DC On Screen, one word. You can find us. You can start talking to us about all this stuff. Maybe you'll show up in one of our episodes, and we'll have a bit of fun talking to you online, because that's what happens. That's what we do. And the next time you hear from us, by the grace of God, will be a review of Patty Jenkins' Wonder Woman. And I am so excited about that. At this point, almost not even for the movie. I'm excited because there's going to be way less news about it. Hey, no, I don't mean it mean, but, you know, by the end of these, by the time these movies, like, I wanted to jump in a river.
Before the actual thing happened, so,
Yeah, like I wanted to jump in a river by the time BVS and Suicide Squad were done. I'm like, oh my gosh, can we do more movies? Oh, ugh.
Yeah.
But
I understand.
But no, I am super excited to see this movie, and I'm excited that it looks like we're actually gonna get some good reviews out of it, and people are gonna enjoy it.
I think so. And remember, this was about the time when Suicide Squad came out that there were suddenly this like barrage of bad reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And we really don't have that going on this time.
We don't. But, you know, every movie is a different experience.
Yeah.
And now you can already tell. You can look at the clickbait and the articles online and the non-DCEU fan base. You can see that they're already starting to form and I told you this before. I said this months ago, that being at risk for being the Rush Limbaugh of the DCEU, I predicted this years ago. No, I said this. I said, you know, they're gonna be too afraid to give Wonder Woman a bad review, but they'll use Wonder Woman as a weapon against Snyder's Justice League. We're already seeing that happen. So,
yeah,
take that for what it's worth. But I don't know. I'm happy to see it. Critics aside, I don't care too much what they say, other than it's going to be the narrative that I'm reading for the next year or two.
Yep. Don't give a damn. I'm just going to go watch this film and see what happens.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be awful? I actually had a dream the other night that, like, the critics all came out and were like, Wonder Woman's amazing! And you and I, like, went and saw it, and we were just like, it wasn't good. Like, I don't remember the movie and the dream, but I remember coming out of the theater and looking at you, and we both just, like, looked sad. And I was like, was that bad? And you were like, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Hopefully that's not what we're dealing with.
I really hope that's not. I'm somewhat worried about it, though. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, guys. Until the Wonder Woman review, which will hopefully be a very positive review, keep some DC on your screen.